Parshas Pekudei is a parasha that has to be investigated in order to understand exactly why the Torah spends so much space, so many psukim, seemingly doing chazara on something that has already been discussed twice. In other words, we have the command to do it, we have the fulfillment of it being done, and now the reckoning of how it was done and where the money went to. One doesn't have to be much of a Torah scholar to understand that every single word of the Torah is written with a tremendous amount of thought and Baruch HaKodesh and by Rabbeinu Shem Tov teach us a message. And therefore, what is the idea of Parshas Pekudei? Why have Parshas Pekudei in the first place? Now, the Parsha begins, and the Parsha says, Eile Pekudei HaMishkon, Mishkon HaEdus. What's Peshat? Eile Pekudei HaMishkon, Mishkon HaEdus. So, really, the Parsha Peshat is, this is Pekudei, this is the counting, this is the reckoning of the Mishkon, which is the Mishkon HaEdus. So Rashi brings down already from the Chazal, HaMishkon HaMishkon, Shnei Po'omim, twice it says Mishkon. Remez LeMikdosh, this remez to the base of Mikdosh, Shnei Mashke Mishnei Chorbonim, Alav Yisayim Shal Yisrael. It was taken back as a Mashkon. It was like a collateral that was taken back when the debt wasn't paid because of the Aveiros of Klal Yisrael. So that's Mishkon, Mishkon twice. Now, but you say, let's understand this. Moshe Rabbeinu is standing now at the culmination of a very successful fundraising drive. He didn't have anything. He had nothing, he had no assets. We're trying to build up a Mishkan that is fitting for the Rabbeinu Shalom. We're having these interesting different kinds of products that were needed. And we needed a lot of gold and silver and copper. Everything we needed finally was brought to its fruition. Everything people brought it with a generosity, with a divas halev, with a fullness of the heart, with a happiness. To an extent, Moshe Rabbeinu said, enough. We don't need anything else. It was made with Ruach HaKodesh. It was built with Sheamus. It was built in a way that Kodesh Baruch Hu can actually bring his Shechina down in a way that he can actually do something that he's never done before. In other words, make his Shechina rest on a finite, small area in for the sake of the Kovod of Klal Yisrael. It was very, very successful. And you can imagine what the feelings were when this was actually finally done. It was built, and it was created, and it was put together, and look at this, fantastic, everything was great. Imagine doing this, imagine building up a beautiful, beautiful shul, and he put a committee together, and he had the craftsman, and the architect, and the plumbers, and the heating people, and the furniture guys. All of them, you've built the most magnificent shul, the lighting, everything, perfect, the stained glass windows, and then you stand up and you say, Moyav Rabbeisai, you should just know, there's a limit how long this is going to last for. This place is going to be taken back one day. It's going to be destroyed. It's going to be ruined. It's going to be not only this, there's going to be another one after this, it's going to be ruined too. Come on, what a somber way of introducing such a wonderfully happy occasion. Fantastic things going on here. The Mishkan's finally built, and we start talking about Mishkan, Mishkan. Oh. And if you want to warn us about it, warn us somewhere else. Why over here? Why by Pekudei? When you're finally making the reckoning, they start talking about it over here. It doesn't seem to be fitting. It doesn't seem to make sense. They're punked by Parshas Pekudei. When everything is going so well, Moshe Rabbeinu is making a reckoning, a final touch. He's giving us this somber understanding of what's going to happen to the Mishkan. What's Peshat in this? Just by the way, the Rebbeinu Bechai says something very beautiful. He says, HaMishkan, okay, HaMishkan is, and he used the words HaMishkan, the Gematria is 415 plus the extra 5 letters of HaMishkan, Hey Men, Shin, Chof, Nun, is 420. 420 is what? How many years? The second base Midrash was around for. That's HaMishkan. Mishkan, Mishkan by itself is the Gematria of 410 years. That's how much the first base Midrash was around for. Okay? Ha'edus, Edus by the way is not usually read with a Vav, Ha'edus, without the Vav, is Gematria Tof Ayin Tes. Okay? 479 years, the amount of time the Mishkan was around until the Binyan HaBayis. So therefore, in this Pasuk, there is the first base of Mikdash, the second base of Mikdash, and how long the Mishkan was around for. So in this particular opening up to the parasha of this successful fundraising drive, we start talking about the destruction of the Mishkanos. It doesn't seem to make sense. By the way, the Chasam Sofer says, why do we have to have the extra five letters that were missing from HaMishkan to make it to the to the 420 of the first of the second base of Mikdash? Why do you have the five letters missing if you've got to have the letters of HaMishkan to make that up? Any idea why? Five. In other words, why do we have HaMishkan is 415, yeah, plus we've got to add in another five letters of the word itself, HaMishkan, to make it up to 420. But without that, there'd be five letters missing. There'll be five numbers missing. What's five represent? So the Chasam Sofer, there are five things missing in the second base of Mikdash. They're not in the first base of Mikdash. And therefore, that's a remez that it's there, but there's five things missing. But be that as it may, that's the Chasam Sofer, but be that as it may, the Pasuk is telling us at the very beginning of talking about the Chorbonos. What's the idea behind this? Why? So I saw a very nice pshat from Otto Kamenetsky. He says, he brings a moshel, and he says, in order to value something, Pekudei is all talking about valuing something. It's a reckoning. When you reckon something, by definition, it's got to have a value. I cannot count dollars and shekels at the same reckoning. If I count $1, $2, $3, 4 shekel, 5 shekel, 6 shekel, $7, $8, it doesn't work out. It's got to have an intrinsic value within itself, otherwise you cannot possibly count it. There's two different variables there. Therefore, every pikudei, every way of reckoning has got to have its own individual way of appreciating something. You cannot count something unless it's appreciated for its correct value. He said, what the Pasuk is saying over here is appreciate what you have and it will stay. He brings a moshel. He said in Hungary, it was known, there's a border there in Hungary where there's a lot of smuggling going on. Terrible amount of smuggling going on. And people would get caught right, left and center, and they had extremely serious punishments for those people who got caught smuggling. So one day they decided that they're going to smuggle something in a coffin. They can take watches and they're going to smuggle it in a coffin, and that by doing so, obviously they're not going to start opening up the coffin, and it's not respectful, and it's not manners. So there they are, they've got this big coffin, and they've got the people there with their ties, the pallbearers there, and they're saying, they come to the border there, and they're getting ready to come across, and you know, and they're walking there with the coffin, and one of them is slapping the other one on the back, and laughing away, making jokes. Anyway, they come to the border there, and he said, please let us through, we've got something here to bury. So the tax, the customs officer says, this isn't legitimate. Something going on over here. There's something funny. He says, no, there's a dead person in here. He says, no dead person in here. Put that down and open it up. How can you do such a thing? Totally disrespectful, a dead person in here. How can you open it up? You're lying. So open it up and opens up the box. There's a bunch of gold watches and jewellery in it. So he says, and it all started to cry. He says, you idiot. If you'd have cried a few steps behind, it would never have happened. If you'd have walked up to here crying and sad and moaning and groaning and then I'd look legitimate. You're laughing a few minutes before, and that's why now you're crying. So he says the same over here. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Rabbi Sag, I'm telling you now, if you appreciate what you have, if you make a reckoning of everything that's going through with the worthiness of the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, if you appreciate it correctly, you won't have to cry later. But if you don't appreciate it and you abuse it, that the Klal Yisrael did, then it'll be taken away, it'll be taken back as a mashkan. And therefore, right now, as a pekudei, when you're counting it, when you reckon it, appreciate it correctly, and there won't be a destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. There won't be a destruction of the Mishkan. It can stay forever. But if you don't, you're going to have to pay for it later. But Rav Moshe's got another pshat. And Rav Moshe says something, Rabbi Yisai, you have to take this seriously. Rav Moshe says that this. He says, people tend to imagine that they somehow live in a bubble, that they don't become influenced by other people, and other people do not become influenced by them. People tend to believe that they have their own strengths, they have self-belief in themselves, they're not going to get influenced by the outside world, by the tumor that's going on around them, and they believe they can carry on through life and live in any society they want, in any business they want, and get involved in a day-to-day life, and it won't affect them. So too, they believe that they make no influence on other people either. Who am I really, people person looking at me? I come late for Shacharis. No, who am I really? I'm the Rav. I'm not the Rav, I'm a regular guy. So people are going to learn from me to come late to Shacharis. Do me a favor. So, you know what? You know, I talk a little bit during davening. Well, I'm the Rav here. I'm the Dayan here. I'm a Poshel Baal HaBos. People learn from me. Rav Moshe says it's not true. Rav Moshe says, unfortunately, people do learn from you. And on the other hand as well, if a person thinks that I'm so special, people suspect me of doing something wrong. I have to. When I come to shul and I come half an hour late, I'm going to tell people later on why I came late. I'm sure the Don Kafschus. I'm sure these people know why I'm doing it. Come on, they know I'm a person who's serious about Yiddishkeit. I talk during davening. People really probably are talking it's something urgent. No, says Rav Moshe, the problem is people don't know and they learn from you and you learn from other people. In other words, there's a system of where each person learns a bad from somebody else. Moshe Rabbeinu could have easily have said, Klal Yisrael, I don't need to open up and reckon with you anything. I need no transparency. I used your money for the Mishkan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said about me, I'm an Eved Ne'eman. That's it. You don't like it? Tough. That's it. No, nothing. I don't have to start making reckonings to you. I don't have to start opening up my books to you. I don't have to say I'm completely clean. Nothing. Take a hike. I am said by Rabbi Shem, I'm a Novi, and a Novi has a special status. He has certain kind of diplomatic immunity, and that's it. Finish. There's nothing else I have to open up. Says Rav Moshe, that is absolutely wrong. Moshe Rabbeinu, the most special person that ever lived and ever will live. Moshe Rabbeinu, who went up to Shemayim, has to show that his nose is clean. He has to show that Klal Yisrael, I'm just telling you what I did, is absolutely legitimate. I did, number one, did nothing corrupt. I learned nothing from your corrupt ways. If any of you are corrupt, never learned from you. And you should just know, if you've seen anything within me, I can show a reckoning for every single thing I've done. Every bit of gold. You can't see it here, because it's over there. This bit of material, you know where that is? That's on the roof. I can show you everything. And therefore, you have nothing else to be worried about. This is a principle of a leader. It's a principle of everyone in Klal Yisrael. That you have to show that you are clean. You have to open up your books and not hide and expect people to expect you to be clean. Says Moshe, if you don't, it brings churbanos. It brings the biggest churban ever. Was the first base mikdash, second base mikdash. And that's what the pasuk is saying. The biggest disaster Klal Yisrael have ever seen were the churbanos of Bati Mikdash. And that's what could happen if you don't make a pekudei. Therefore, Dafko, when he's making a reckoning, we start talking about churbanos. Because if you're not making a reckoning, causes the biggest churbanos. The pasuk carries on. The second pasuk of the parashah, Perek Lamed Ches, pasuk Chof Beis, we talked about this very briefly last year. It's a beautiful sephora. Ubetzalel ben Uri ben Chula Mati Yehuda. Sorry, the pasuk says, I'm sorry. Biyad Isama ben Aaron HaKoyin. And it was done through Isam ben Yaron HaKoyin, Ubetzalel ben Uri ben Chula Mati Yehuda, Osses Kol Tziva Sheves Moshe, did everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe. Ve'itzoin with him, Olio ben Chisomach Mati Don, asks the Mefarshim, why go through those people who were involved in the Mishkan? We already talked about that. We already know from the previous parashas who these people were. Here we're not reckoning how many people are there. We're reckoning now how much gold and silver were used. So why go again into the characters they already discussed in previous parashas? Says the Sephorna, you know why? Because Klal Yisrael over here are not building a factory. They're building a Mishkan for Ribbono Shel Olam. He says, compare the amount of gold and silver used in the Mishkan compared to how much was used in the first base of Mikdash and certainly in the second base of Mikdash. It was minuscule. It was a tiny percentage. You know what the difference was? In the first base of Mikdash and the second base of Mikdash, they were destroyed. The Mishkan never got destroyed. So therefore, when you're making a reckoning, when you're trying to evaluate something, don't evaluate it on the gold market. Don't evaluate it on the metal market. How much gold, how much silver, let's see how much it's worth on the price of, on the metal index. That is not how you make a reckoning. The reckoning, says the apostle right from the beginning, is who is involved in building it. How much nishma is involved in this? How much das Torah is involved in this? Who is doing this building? You don't need big committees and flashy fundraising dinners. What you need is for a good result of to get decent progress for a Mishkan is Tamid HaChachamim who are behind it. people who are doing it lishma, that is what will ultimately make the success. And therefore reckon that in the reckoning. Don't reckon just the value of how much it's worth on dollar price. Bring into the reckoning, more important, the amount of lishma that goes into building the Mishkan. That's why I bring these characters who work totally lishma, who are tzaddikim, because those were that gave it its strength over and above anything else. In Perilamat Ches, Pasuk Chof Ches, there is a very, it looks like a regular Pasuk, but there's a lot going on over here. Look at Perilamat Ches, Pasuk Chof Ches, the Eser Elef Ushva Hameyois V'chamisho V'shivim, and the 1,775 pieces of silver over here, also Vovim Namudim, they made for Vovim to Namudim, the tzipor roshehem, and they covered up the heads of them, the chishak oisom. Now, what is going on over here? So there's a very, very well-known Medrash Tanchumah. Medrash Tanchumah says like this, Moshe osa cheshbon. Ever heard this before? Moshe made a cheshbon. Eile pekudei, and he starts with Eile pekudei, makes a cheshbon. And he works out how much silver came in, and how much silver was used. By the way, there wasn't any wastage at all. The amount that came in, that's the amount that was used. That's not something which is usual. But the amount came in, and suddenly he saw that 1,750 was missing. Where did that go? It's a huge amount. Where did that go? So he says, the Medrash says, Shochach, the 1,775 shekel, Sha'osim that he made with them, Vovim la'amudim. Vovim for the amudim, little pegs for the amudim that were outside in the below the hoya nirin, and they were not seen. Hischil oimed tomo. He stood there, he couldn't understand what's going on. Miyad, Heir HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Einov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened up his eyes, V'ro, and he saw Shehoyo Oisin Vovin Lamudim. That he saw, that he made with them Vovin Lamudim. That's one medrash. Ren Machai says slightly differently. He says, Shochach, V'lo Yoda Ma Osamahem, he forgot what he did with that amount of silver. Yotzav Baskel V'omra, Baskel came out, and he said, V'esa Elef, V'shva HaMeyos, V'chomesh, V'shivim Os, Vovin Lamudim. In other words, this pasuk is actually a baskel that came out that he made it for Amudim. In other words, to show that Moshe Rabbeinu is absolutely trustworthy and every piece of silver that was given to him was used for correct purpose. Asks Rav Shimon Schwab, there's a few pieces of Shimon Schwab in this week's parasha which is absolutely fantastic. Asks Rav Shimon Schwab, Ma'ayni Beis HaSheva, what punkt, why was exactly this and Moshe Rabbeinu forgot Vovim Lamudim? Why did he not forget, I don't know, a bit of wood that went into the Karoshim? Or a bit of gold that went into the Kerubim. Why was it they forgot this huge amount of silver that he used for the pegs? Why dafka that? On the contrary, the small little bits and pieces he can forget, but the huge amounts of things you should remember. What's going on over here? So he says, Moshe Rabbeinu was Kodesh. Moshe Rabbeinu was the paradigm of separation. He was up in Shemayim, he separated from his wife, he was Kodesh. He was away from everything else, he was away from people. He had his machne, chutzah machne, he was away. And he says, what happens is, when you're away too much from the person on the street, you, to a certain extent, you miss their perspective. You don't live with them and see how they see things. Moshe Rabbeinu was living in with the Rebbein Shleilim. He was as if he was inside the Mishkan. He was seeing things from the inside out. The Vavim were not seen on the inside. They were only seen on the outside. And therefore, with Moshe Rabbeinu's Kedusha, with Moshe Rabbeinu's separation, he didn't see the Vavim and Amudim. He missed the point. He did not see what's sticking out to the outside, what the outside person sees. He missed it. And therefore, Rabbeinu had to make a baskol, or had to come along and tell him that Moshe Rabbeinu, don't make that mistake. You've missed something. You've forgotten what the common man sees. You have to make sure that you count even a little vav and amudim. And that's how the real reckoning comes in. Don't reckon something for your perspective. Don't see something only from the way you see it. Because if the way you see it is not the way the person from the outside sees it, sometimes you're going to come with the wrong cheshbon. A cheshbon has got to be made taking everyone into account. Seeing things from the inside and seeing things from other people's perspective too. Because if you don't, you're going to come to the wrong pekudei. You're going to come to the wrong cheshbon. Beautiful piece. And this applies not to Moshe Rabbeinu, it applies to every single one. You know, sometimes you've got to see a person from somebody else's perspective. person's angry with you, why is he angry? Why is he upset? See from his perspective. Because if you don't, the reckoning that you come to, and you, I made cheshbon nefesh, I don't see why the person should be upset with me. Your cheshbon is wrong because you haven't seen it from this person's perspective. And not only did Moshe Rabbeinu not have the correct reckoning for the Poshet Yid, it's brought down that even the Ribbono Shel Olam, to a certain extent, took into his cheshbonus a Poshet Yid. Now this is a very good trivia question. How many times in this week's parasha does it say Kasher Tzivah Hashem es Moshe? Not all at once, okay. Karsiv Hashem es Moshe, it says 20 times in the parasha. Karsiv Hashem es Moshe. Okay? At every single stage of the parasha, it says Karsiv Hashem es Moshe. And go through the parasha. He made the Ephod, the Cheshav Afadosoi, Karsiv Hashem es Moshe. He made the Avnei Shoyim, Karsiv Hashem es Moshe. He made the Choshein, Karsiv Hashem es Moshe. He made the, what else? The Orain, Karsiv Hashem es Moshe. Every single says Karsiv Hashem es Moshe. Only one place it doesn't say it. Okay, it says Vayokom Esach Chotzer Sovel Mishkan Ulem Mizbeach. If you can find this, I'd be very grateful. Yeah, Vayokom Esach Mishkan. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, Vayokom Esach Chotzer. It's in Perek Mem Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Vayokom Esach Chotzer Sovel Mishkan. They put the Chotzer around the Mishkan. Ulem Mizbeach. Vayiten es mosach shayach chotzer, they put the curtain there. Vayichal Moshe's nochal and Moshe ben finish the malacha. It does not say kashet siva Hashem es Moshe. The only exception in the parasha. Why every single other place does say kashet siva Hashem es Moshe? In Perik Mem, Posel Lamed Gimel, does not say kashet siva Hashem es Moshe. Why not? Says Rav Schwab again something very nice, and he says that within building the Mishkan, there wasn't such a thing as doing any malacha shlei lishmo. The whole Mishkan had to be done lishmo. It had to be done l'shem shemayim. V'yikchu li truma li lishmi. It's going to be me for my name. There's no such thing as doing it shlei lishmo. I'm a toich shlei lishmo bo lishmo. There's no such thing. It has to be done li lishmi. If it was not done for b'nei shem saying lishmo, the avodah was possible. It's all li lishmi. It's all lishmo. In order for the Mishkan to be complete, it's going to be li lishmi. And therefore, at every single stage of creating the Mishkan and creating the Kelim of the Mishkan, we had to say Kasher Tzivah Hashem es Moshe, like Hashem commanded Moshe, it was done lishmo. Otherwise, it would be possible. At every stage, the lishmo was there, but there's one exception, and that is what happens in a place where regular people are standing. In other words, where the Kohenim are. And when the Kohen are doing the Avodah, and the Kohen Gadol is wearing all the beautiful, the Choshen and the Tzitz, that's Kashiv Hashem es Moshe. Fine. Lishmo. And these are people who can work with the element of Lishmo. But when the average Joe comes to the Chotzer of the Mishkan, and he's standing there, he can be intimidated by the idea that I've got to do everything Lishmo. And if I don't do Lishmo, Hashem doesn't want me here. If Hashem doesn't want me here, I'm not coming. If I'm not coming, I'll find myself something else to keep me happy. In this particular case, of course it was made Kashiv Hashem es Moshe. Of course it was made Lishma, otherwise it would be possible. But like Kodesh Baruch Hu said, in this case, I'm not going to emphasize the Lishma over here. It doesn't matter if the average person doesn't do something Lishma. Because Metoich Shulei Lishma, Bo Lishma. Don't do Lishma, eventually it'll come to Lishma. And therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't say Kashiv Hashem es Moshe. He does not connect his name to Lishma over here. Just in order that his posher to Yid should not feel threatened in any way, should feel pushed away in any way because of not doing something absolutely lechatchila. And therefore I'm happy if it's not as if it's written done lechatchila. Of course it was done lechatchila. But I'm happy if it seems not done lechatchila in order that his person should not feel in any way pushed aside in order not to do something absolutely lechatchila. So let's get bearings over here. First, we talked about Bikudei, the importance of making a cheshbon. If a person makes a cheshbon, then he appreciates more what he has. Sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu, I had a terrible toothache this week, and I had some root canal treatment, and I've never appreciated my teeth as much as I did, Baruch Hashem, after the pain went away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you something and he takes it away and then you start appreciating it again. Achrei Mois Kadosh Memo. Well, that's the way it goes. It's human nature. Achrei Mois Kadosh Memo. So the first idea was of Eli Pekud to make a cheshbon, appreciate what you have, and therefore the Mishkan will not have to be taken away. The Beis Midrash won't be destroyed. Number one. Number two, the idea over here of making a cheshbon means show people what you're doing. Don't rely on the fact that it's been done you the kaf schus. Don't learn from other people wrong things. Don't allow people other people to learn for you wrong things. Make a cheshbon. Show what you're doing. Explain to people why you're doing it. Otherwise, if not, Chas v'Shalom says Rav Moshe, can lead to chorbanos of the Beis HaMikdash. Number two. Number three, when you're making a cheshbon, it's not all about money. It's not all about worth. It's about the work, the Mesiras Nefesh, the Lishma, the Das Torah that goes into a job. That is what makes it powerful. That's what gives it its kiyum. That's a foreigner. Then we had two ideas of Rav Shimon Schwab. One idea of Rav Shimon Schwab was the idea of why it says the Moshe Rabbeinu forgot about the Vovim, because when he made his cheshbon, he didn't see other people's perspective. And that's also very, very important, see other people's perspective, otherwise you lose touch, you lose focus who you are. And also, understanding other people's perspective, because Shporuchu himself, B'chleide V'atzloi, said in the Torah that I don't mind not connecting my name, Kash Siva Hashem is Moshe, and therefore compromising to a certain extent the Kovod Shemaim, just in order that this person should feel a little bit better, the Poshi should feel a little bit better. Now, I want to move on from this. The Medrash says, at the end of the parasha, the Pasuk says, V'le'yochel Moshe lovei lo'oil. Moshe Rabbeinu could not come into the oil, ki shochen olav ha'onon, because the onon, the cloud, was resting on the oil. Uchvoid Hashem mole es ha'mishkan, and the Kovod HaKadosh Baruch Hu filled up the Mishkan. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to come into the Mishkan, he couldn't. The honor was filling it up. Says the Medrash HaGadol, Omer B'chama B'chanina. Says B'chama B'chanina, V'chisala Adaitcho, do you really think, Shemoshe Misyar Min Ha'onom, do you think Moshe Rabbeinu is afraid of a bit of cloud? V'hanenev, the Pasuk says in Mishpatim, V'yov Moshe B'toich Ha'onom, Moshe Rabbeinu came inside the honor and given the Torah. And therefore, why over here is he so afraid of the honor? In other words, he just went into the Onan like a person walks down the street. And therefore, why beforehand does it say Moshe Rabbeinu went to Onan, no problem? Over here, Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid he couldn't go to the Onan. What's the problem? Elo v'lo yochol. What's that v'lo yochol? It means melamed shecholak kovod l'shchina. That he gave kovod to l'shchina v'le nichnas asher kareya HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He never went in to that HaKadosh Baruch Hu called him out. Shnema v'yikra Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu called out to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay? What's going on over here? Moshe Rabbeinu had created the Mishkan. He put his kliyos into it. He's trained them. He made sure that everyone was working the Shema. He built the Mishkan. And now the Onon Kavod Hashem is standing by the Mishkan. It shows how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved the Mishkan. He brought down the Shechina onto the Mishkan. And Moshe Rabbeinu now doesn't go into the Mishkan. But Lo Yochel, he couldn't get in. He couldn't get in. Ask him, of course he can get in. He went into Shemaim. He went into the Onon on the Har Sinai. Why couldn't he come in over here? Says a Medrash, Lo Yochel means he wanted to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu covered. Let me ask you, what's Lo Yochel mean then? He couldn't or he didn't want to? Lo Yochel from the Pasuk means he couldn't. Lo Yochel from the Medrash is telling me he didn't want to. What's going on? The Teretz is... Yaakov, what do you think of the Teretz?
That his want was so much I couldn't possibly do it. That was the right thing, therefore he couldn't.
Excellent. Excellent.
There was Moshe, but he couldn't walk in front of a person davening. Could he walk physically, but he didn't want to, therefore there was a wall there, he couldn't step forward.
Excellent. Excellent. Lo Yochel does not mean he cannot. You know, if you're driving very, very fast, right, and there's oncoming traffic in the opposite lane, you can't drive into the opposite lane. Of course you can. Just put your steering wheel a little bit further in that lane and you smash straight into a juggernaut. What's the problem? Right? Lo Yochel means it becomes so part of you, it becomes so part of knowing what's right and what's wrong, you cannot do it. You can't possibly pull the wheel over and drive in the opposite lane. You can't! Unless you're drunk, unless you're tired, but you can't physically, knowingly do this. Moshe Rabbeinu reached a level that Kovod Shemayim was so part of him, v'lo yochel. He poshut couldn't. It wasn't physically possible for him to go into the Mishkan until he was called to come in. The Ramban wrote in his letter, Hishnai Tomid, the Dabi Dvarecha Banachas Achal Odom B'chol Eis. Be careful. Work entirely and to speak to a person gently. And he said, Ukishud Notsim in a Kas, Tale Alib Chamidas Hanova. And when you get freed of Kas, it will become on you Midas Hanova. In other words, you work on something, it becomes a part of you. And it works the other way around as well. There's a famous Orachayim HaKadosh. Orachayim HaKadosh says, Hakes Sakes Kol Yeshva Irehu. Talking about the Pasuk of very famous Orachayim HaKadosh. You don't usually say in Chumash Shikot Espein Azmanim. But it says, Hakes Sakes, go along and wipe out the whole Ere Nidachas. Hakes Sakes, listen to this, Rabbi Yisrael, carefully. Hakes Sakes Yeshva Irehu, Lifi Chorev. Go wipe out the whole city. There's Kol Shalol Tikboitz, and take all the Shalol, take all the booty. The Sarapta Be'esh and burn it. And the apostle carries on, "V'nosan l'chol rachmin v'rachamecha," and I'll give you rachmin and have rachmanis. Ask Orachayim HaKadosh, why do we need this end of the pasuk? And HaKadosh Baruch will give you rachmin and have rachmanis. What does that mean? And HaKadosh Baruch have rachmanis on you. What's the idea? So he says, and read out what he says. Kavona lefi shetziva ir nedachas. Since ir nedachas, there's a command sheyehargu kol ir lefi chorev, to wipe out the whole city with a sword. Vafila behemtom, even the animals. Maisa hazeh yolid teva hachzorius b'leiv adam. This maisa creates achzorius within a person. K'moish siprul lonu hayishma'elim, like the Yishma'elim, kat haritzchim, like the Yishma'elim, the Arabs, the nation of murderers. Ki yesh lahem cheshek gadol b'shal shehogem adam. They have a tremendous cheshek, even in October, the king to kill people. They have a tremendous cheshek to kill more people. V'nichusam mehem shoyer shirachmim v'hoyle achzor. And they become achzorim. In other words, when a person is meant to kill somebody and is told to kill somebody, they have a tremendous passion to do it. They become bloodthirsty, literally bloodthirsty. It says a pasuk over here, so the Kodesh Baruch Hu wipe out the entire city of Ir Nidachas, but there's a chiddush over here. V'nosan l'chol rachamim. I will not allow you to become an achzor. I will give you a new matana of rachamim that will counteract this mid of achzoris. Because what happens is, Herigal Nasa Teva, you used to doing something, becomes part of you. Moshe Rabbeinu was so involved in Yerushalayim, so involved with giving cover to Rabbeinu Shalom, v'lo yochol, he poshut couldn't. Imagine what desire you had to go into the Mishkan, to go in when the Shechina was there, to come to the Mishkan. No, I can't. Of course he can. Go in. I can't. And that's what the Shimon Shvab says. That's Peshat. He said, very, very nice Peshat. Remember this. It says by Bris. It says, "Kashem shenichnas a bris." We say by a bris, "Kashem shenichnas a bris." Kein yikones l'toyra l'chuppa l'maisim tovim. Os peshat. So he says the kavan normally is, "Kashem shenichnas a bris." Nobody takes their son and gives him bris mila for the fun of it. Take an 8-day-old baby and you cut him, put him into the sakana. Nobody does that for the fun. It's totally lishmo. So kshem shenichnas a bris, that's like you go into the bris. It's done lishmo. Ken yikones a Torah should be lishmo, the chuppah should be lishmo, the ma'aseh tov should be lishmo. That's a poshut pshat. After Shimon Shvab, right? After Shimon Shvab, but what happened? There's something missing here. Kshem shenichnas a bris, right? Okay, the bris is bris. Yik Torah, chuppah, ma'aseh tov. What's ma'aseh tov? Ma'aseh tov is ben odom lechaveri. What about mitzvahs? What about mitzvahs? It's just a shame to nichzav brins, kenichol is a Torah, ula mitzvahs, yeah, ula chuppah, ula maisim tovim. Mitzvahs been, what happened to ben odom lemochim? What happened between the mitzvah between the person and Rabbein Shloim? It doesn't seem to mention any bracha there to this baby. What's pshat? Okay? He said very, very nicely. He says, kishen shem nichzav bris means, when a baby goes to a bris, he is changed. He's completely a different baby. When he came into the bris, he was an oral, and now, with a bris mila, he is a different baby. You can see a physical change. He says so too. Kain tikkun is a Torah. When a person learns Torah, when a person becomes a ben Torah, he's a different person. He becomes a different individual. He becomes a different personality. Even his face changes. He becomes a different person. Torah delays. Torah becomes his. He becomes a different person. A teva talmud chochm is not like the teva of a regular person. And therefore we say that kashem shenichnas a bris, when you come to a bris where you've actually changed, so too when you're learning Torah, you should become actually changed through the Torah. So too chuppah as well. Chuppah, when a person's unmarried, he's incomplete. When he gets married, he's finished. Okay, sorry. He's completed, right? And therefore, again, a person becomes a different person. Yeah, he's become a person who is complete. He's become, and therefore, is a different teva. Why? Because again, he is a different person completely. Hopefully, he does it for the right things. And that's a bracha. What's ma'isim tovim as well? Ma'isim tovim as well. A person who is melumed, a person who gets himself into the habit of looking out for the other person, of being sensitive to the other person, whether it's neighbours, whether it's family, whether it's friends, whether it's strangers, but always looking out to help somebody, he becomes part of his nature to be polite, to be kind, to be generous, to be sensitive. That's who he is. So kishem shenichnas a bris, just like by a bris it changes you, so too when you come to Torah it should change you, by chuppah it should change you, and ma'aseh tovim should be that thing, it should actually change you, that should be your norm, it should be a part of your nature. He said that's only when it comes to mitzvah ben odom lechaveroi. But when it comes to ben odom lemokoim, we don't want it to change you. What is happening? Of course we want it to change you. We don't want it to become part of you. Why? Because when tefillah comes a part of you, when you come into daven and you're used to davening, then you start doing autopilot. Did I put on tefillin? Must have. You know why? Because I got my tefillin marks on me. Did I bench? I must have. I'm still wearing my hat. We don't want it to become a part of your nature. We want it to be each time a new avodah, starting michadash, going to tefillah with a new understanding, a new appreciation, as if it's something you've never done before. And therefore, by this, we don't give you the bracha to become a part of you, become part of your second nature. Second nature, Rabbi Yisrael, is the biggest danger of what we call what's it called? It comes routine, it comes autopilot, and therefore with this, when Adam Lechaveroi other Rabbim, it should become part of you. Every time you see somebody in the street, you should want to give him a punch in the nose. Yeah, it should be part of you to be a kind person. When it comes to mitzvah Adam Lechaveroi other Rabbim, come to davening with a new cheshek, the first time I ever daven, and do it with a full enthusiasm. That is the reckoning of this week's parasha. That is the reckoning. How do you value something? What is important? Where do I put my efforts into? How do I appreciate different things? That is Parashas Pekudei. Remember, my Rosh Shiva, finish off with my Rosh Shiva, Ram Gurevitz, Shlita used to say, Pekudei means it is inside you like a pikadon. It's something that's collateral. There's a natural tendency for a person to be pulled towards Kedusha. He said, like a bird is programmed to be able to fly thousands and thousands and thousands of miles across the world, and he knows exactly where he was the previous year, a person has a natural tendency to do the right thing. And if you listen to a little voice inside you that tells you what's right and doesn't push it aside, then you'll derech klal do the right thing. But when you guide them, you time them, you cover get in the way, that's when the troubles are. He said every person has a pekudei, there's a pekodin, there's an inbuilt system that's going to bring him and drive him and schlep him to the correct address. Day after day, year after year. Because that's within the yid. That's a pekudei, that's become a kodesh baruch has given us. And as long as we make the correct cheshbonus, and we make a pekudei of our life, and we learn what we should be learning from this parasha, to appreciate and to value the correct things, then the pekudei that kodesh baruch has given us will always, be'ezus Hashem, guide us in the correct way. And if it doesn't, we'll be able to make our own cheshbonus and come out with a pekudei ha-mishkon. It should be a kodesh baruch will be mashish within each and every one of us.